Hallelujah. Just go ahead and worship. Be yourself and worship. Hallelujah. Church family, I need to give a little instruction here. We need to be ourselves and worship right now. We need to open ourselves up. We need to be ourselves. So let's just go ahead and do that now. Just shout to the Lord. And then, hallelujah. This is a house of miracles. This is a place that many people have received the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. They have received physical healing, emotional healing. And today is the same as yesterday, today, and forever, because that's our Jesus. And so your healing is here. Let me tell you, the story, just keep on playing. There's a teenager in the Bible, and he was having a great life. He knew his calling. He knew what he was supposed to do. He was trained in that area. But the thing is, he made a decision that I'm going to be everything God's asked me to be, and I'm going to put him first. All of a sudden, something took place where he, his family, and the whole nation were taken into captivity. They were taken into captivity for 70 years. And in the midst of that, he went to the Lord. And he asked the Lord, he said, Lord, what is going on? Things were so good. I've lost family members. People are in slavery. I'm in slavery. What are you doing? What is our future? And you know what's great about that? Is God said, okay, sit down and let me tell you. And God began to unfurl the future of mankind to him. His name's Daniel. And it's called Daniel 70 weeks. Yes, I'm teaching on that this evening and next week. But I want you to hear is that God has called you. God has given you a future and a hope. And many of us feel like we're in slavery to sickness. We're in slavery to finances. We're in slavery to relational problems. But you know what Daniel did? He said, I'm not going to do it man's way. God, I'm going to do it your way. And for everything that I know right now, Daniel says, I'm going to worship my God, and I'm going to allow myself, every decision, every thought is taken into captivity. That pleased the Lord. God blessed Daniel greater than most. And it isn't because that God liked him more than anybody else, that in the midst of the greatest challenge of his life, in the midst of seeing his own nation fall, he believed God. That's why this place, all those watching online, that's why this place is a house of miracles. That's why this place can transform your life. The enemy comes in, and he wants to say to you, well, if you just do it this way, just do it this way. No, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do it God's way, and I promise you, God will do what he has planned from the foundation of the earth. No man, no situation, no tragedy, nothing can hinder what God planned for you, because it was planned and done and spoken out over you by God himself before the foundation of this earth. Nothing can change it. The key is for us to be like Daniel. The key is to be that young man or that old man, that young woman or that, how do I say it for women? More wise women. You can tell I've been married 42 years. The reality is God wants to do something very special for you today. And so what I'm going to do, as they continue to pray, to play, I'm going to pray with you. And it's not just me praying, which I'm praying the prayer of faith. I'm a faith guy. But it's you saying, okay, I see all that's in front of me, but I don't see in the spirit realm what God had planned. You need to choose God's plan, even though you don't know it. Jeremiah said this, another young man, he said that God has planned a purpose for you, and that purpose is good. It's for today, for you also. So make that choice as I'm praying over you. In Jesus' name, all those watching online and in the house of God, the house of miracles here, Valley Community Church, I proclaim in Jesus' name, Lord, an absolute transformation, not just in what's going on, but in our hearts and our minds, of choosing God to do it your way. Devil, I come against that deception. I come against that remorse. I come against that literal pain that people go through and they're blaming themselves. I come against that in Jesus' name, that all lies are from the father of lies, Satan, and that's you. And we rebuke you right now in Jesus' name. And because we are tithers, devil, we don't have to yell at you, because God himself rebukes you right now in Jesus' name. God rebukes you in Jesus' name, because Jesus won the victory. The Holy Spirit says, choose you this day to walk in my ways and to be led by my Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord says, so that you may walk in a truth that sets you free. True, that situation is there. But the truth says, through the blood and the whipping of Jesus Christ, you are saved and healed. And you have every right to walk in the plan that God has for you. Walk in it this day by choosing not my will, but your will be done, Father. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Greet someone before you are seated, please. I am thoroughly enjoying some of you that I know that watch live online that have called me, that I know you personally, or you've talked to me in the different areas that I've met you, about the series that we are doing, A Generous Life That Changes Everything. And you have come to me, many of you, and you have said in this house right here that you haven't heard a teaching on this area that is so simple but so true. And I want you to understand that God is doing something very interesting and peculiar in the lives of those that are part of this membership, a part of this house, those that include yourself online, and God's doing this in your life. Again, as Pastor Dan says a lot, we hope one day that you would take a time and drive your hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, when you're in town from other states to visit us and be a part of, I believe, some of the greatest people in the world at Valley Community Church. They are brothers and sisters of mine. They're friends of mine. They are great leaders. They know the Word of God, and they love one another, and we love you. So understand that our greatest goal is that you would get born again if you're not, and that you would be able to walk in everything that God's called you to do. We also are a church that loves to laugh. Yesterday, we were with the men, and I just laughing until I had tears in my eyes. And it might be some of that salsa that some of the guys made, tears in my eyes, but it was good. But we love to laugh, so I want to read this to you. I heard about a minister who was driving down the road and got stopped for speeding. The highway patrolman smells alcohol on him, and he sees an empty wine bottle on the floor and asks, "Sir, have you been drinking?" And the minister replies, "No, I've just been drinking water." And the patrolman asks, "Then why do I smell wine?" And the minister looks down at the bottle and exclaims, "Good Lord, he's done it again." For all that don't know this, I mean, Jesus turned water into wine. Okay, never mind, never mind. You know, today our greatest message would be to preach to the world the gospel of Jesus Christ, the birth, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus, Christ our Lord. But today, to the believer, I believe I'm going to be speaking to you probably the greatest message I could ever preach to you as a congregation. It is the key of living a generous life. It has application, but it really is talking about, as we began this series, about the heart. But not just the heart, it's the action of the heart. That in your life, a generous life that changes everything is a life that has a heart that has an attitude towards God. An attitude towards God that whatever happens in your life, whatever you experience in life, that your heart and your mind will go back to the truth that we're going to talk about today. I promise you, if you catch this principle, it will change everything in your life. Even if you felt like you knew this principle and that you're living this principle out, it will transform you in a greater way of the application of the attitude that you already have. But my goal today is that all of us will understand the title of our message today is the principle of the first. The principle of the first. And we must understand it runs through all of Scripture. From Genesis to Revelation, story after story, proclamation after proclamation, doctrine after doctrinal statement in Scripture, it brings about everything with the attitude of the principle of the first. Here it is. If God is first in your life, everything in your life will come into order. Now, that's a pretty wild statement there, that everything will come into order because we all know that there are areas in all of our lives that have some type of disorder. But I want to say to you, if God is first in your life, Scripture does tell us that in this life, in this world, in this age, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer because he's overcome the world. And there is an answer that has already been done or given for the situation that you're in. The only struggle is because we don't understand the principle of the first, putting God first in everything. At times we try to fix it ourselves, or we try to move in areas of our life and thinking that we know what to do, because even at times because we've known the Lord for so long that we're good Christians and we just really have an answer, we're just going to continue to do exactly what we're doing because it always worked before. Let me say to you, when you put God first, you're putting all knowledge and wisdom first. You're not putting all your knowledge, all your wisdom first, all your experience first. You're putting the God of all creation, the God that created the universe, you are putting him first. Bottom line, it's a heart that Jesus has, is I've taken care of it for you. But if God is not first in your life, then nothing will come into a right order in your life. It has nothing to do with bad or good, or guilt or no guilt. It has everything to do with the attitude of the heart regarding the principle of the first. So my question to you in beginning here is, wouldn't it be wonderful, or wouldn't you rather go through the trials you're going through, the situations, the difficulties you're going through, with God being first in your life, knowing that at a specific time that things will come back in order? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you in Scripture doctrinal truths. I'm going to show you three principles, and you know me, is that I'm going to make it simple because I'm a simple guy. And we're going to get deep in some areas. We're going to show you some doctrine. And we're going to make some statements in this. But by the time we get to those statements, you're going to have such a simple understanding and revelation of the principle of the first that you're going to say, I get it. Are you ready? Are you with me? Look at your neighbor and say, I'm going to get this today. Go ahead, just say that. Remember, kingdom principles are foundations of the system of God's kingdom belief, of faith. So the first principle that we find in Scripture regarding putting God first is called the principle of the firstborn. The principle of the firstborn. So let me remind you that in 1 Corinthians 10, it says this, that everything that is written in the Old Testament was written for our instruction. Was written for our instruction. So if you're an Old Testament person, a New Testament person, they're both for us. I have discussions with people say, yeah, but I don't really believe the New Testament because it was, and they start giving the reasons, the deception. I want to tell you it's deception. The Word of God is truth, and it will set you free. So we need to learn from this, even if it's not in the same cultural setting. So we're going to read some things that are in the cultural setting of where they had farm animals. All right? So what we will read is now is about a donkey and a lamb. How many of you have one of those? No, okay, all right. So just understand this, even though it's of a different culture, it brings revelation to you and me, and I'm going to show it to you. There's a principle behind what God is saying. In Exodus chapter 13, verse 1. It says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, consecrate." Remember this at the beginning of the series. Consecrate means to set apart or set aside to me all the firstborn. Whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel. Romans chapter 11 says, we have been grafted in the nation of Israel if we become born again. So this is speaking to us, even though we live in a different culture and a different lifestyle than back then. Verse 2 continue, whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both man and beast, it is mine. In other words, what is first? This is a principle, not a law, it's a principle set by God. That you shall set apart, verse 12, to the Lord all that open the womb, that is, every firstborn that comes from an animal which you have, the male shall be the Lord's or belong to God. Now, I'm going to explain this next verse in a little bit, but just hang on with me. Don't go into, well, that's of yesterday and that's not of today. I live in this time frame, so don't go there. But every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem or to buy it back and use it with a lamb. Now, for all you believers, you're listening to something about a lamb and a donkey, but then you recognize that the donkey needs to be redeemed. I'm not calling you a donkey, but just hang on there, all right? And if you will not redeem it, then you shall break its neck. This principle applies to tithing. What he is saying is the first 10% is set aside for me or God. But if you won't return it to the house of God, you're going to lose it anyways. You will have to break the donkey's neck. You will lose it anyways if you don't return it to me. So you can bring the tithe to the house of God and the 90% can be blessed, or you can keep it in your bank account and it will still go out of your account when your washing machine breaks or your car breaks down or you lose your job. God is not cursing us at all. The Bible literally says, and we're not teaching on this, but that Jesus, who God gave, we're going to bring this at the end of the message, took the curse from us. All right? So everything that God planned, every principle in Scripture, God set it apart to remove this world's curse from amongst us so we can live in the blessing of God in every area of our life. So either we have our 90% blessed, kingdom blessing, or we function in the world's economy and the curse is always there, ripping you off. Verse 13, and all the firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. Notice, there are two classifications of animals he uses in this scripture. He uses a donkey. Now the donkey in the scripture represents an unclean animal. The lamb represents a clean animal. So that's why you have a lamb that is sacrificed, firstborn, that is sacrificed so that the donkey can be redeemed. All right? Just think about that regarding our salvation. Now, this scripture was written 3,500 years ago. way before the law. So what in the world, though, does this happen to do with us? Why are we studying this when you're an accountant or you're a lawyer or you're in the medical field, you're a teacher, housewife? What does this have to do with us? It has everything to do with what you're doing and your success and your accomplishment in your life. So what does a donkey and a lamb have to do with you? It's the principle behind it. Remember, we're talking about the principle of the kingdom of God. This principle is actually talking about, ready for this? It's talking about Jesus. All through the Old Testament is always pointing towards Jesus, the Lamb of God, who took the sin of the world away, who destroyed the curse that was laid on us when we were born on this earth. So if you have an unclean animal, it has to be redeemed with the sacrifice of a clean animal. And a clean firstborn, remember, Jesus was called the firstborn, had to be sacrificed. So the clean has to be sacrificed, and the unclean has to be redeemed with the sacrifice of the clean. So let's figure this out. Let's simplify it. Were you and I, here's a question. Were you and I, spiritually speaking, born clean or unclean? I'll give you the answer. We were all born unclean. We were born with a sin nature. So let me ask the parents just to give you proof. Did you have to teach your kids to be bad? I'm being serious. Did you have to go to your kids and say, now, I know you're perfect. Some parents think their kids are perfect. I know you're perfect, but let me tell you how to be bad. Did you have to do that? No. They automatically, naturally, would do bad things because they were born with a sin nature. You had to teach them how to be good and then teach them when they got to an age of how to be spiritually good living for Jesus Christ. All right? So again, all of us are born unclean. So here it is. Was Jesus born unclean or clean? He was born clean. So the clean Jesus had to be sacrificed so that the unclean, that means us, could be redeemed. How many of you are born again? Hello, clean. I didn't say Mr. Clean for you older folks. This is what we just read in Exodus and how important the firstborn is. Jesus said, when your sheep had a lamb, and when you bring the first one to me, the rest are redeemed, blessed. They are blessed and brought out from under the curse in the world. So the first one is a redemptive one who redeems the rest in your flock. He also didn't say, wait till you have 10 lambs, and at that time, knowing you have 9 others to back you up, then you give the one. Or give God the one that you don't like because they're unruly. That lamb's unruly. I know it's the 8th one, but no, out of here. And you give that up for... He didn't say that. He said, give me the first one when you don't have the other 9. It's all through Scripture. Principle of the first. This is so bathed in the principle of faith because you have to give the first one before you have the other 9. That's why the enemy fights this hard in your life, because he knows if you get this principle and you follow the principle, that he has no recourse. He cannot destroy what God has planned for you because your economy, everything about your life, relationships, is based upon the kingdom of God and his blessings and his covenant. Because God is first in your life, in everything. Elbow somebody, would you? Say, that's good. Go ahead. Getting too quiet. So you don't pay all your bills and then you tithe. You tithe first, then you pay your bills because it's faith. What God is trying to do is build faith in your life. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is for the forgiver, not the forgivee. You give forgiveness first, even though they're the wrong. Why is that? Because that principle always works. It brings you into kingdom relationships. And if God has to, God will remove that out of your life or give you wisdom before you marry that person to get out of there. For all you single people. See, God is going to guide you, direct you, protect you, walk with you, hold your hand, put his arms around you, and rebuke the devourer in for Jesus' sake, for your salvation, for your call, for everything you are when you put God first. He's trying to build our faith. Think about this. When they went into the promised land, God said, bring me, he didn't say give, he said, bring all the silver and gold from Jericho into the house of God. Now, why did God say Jericho? Why didn't he say Ai? Why didn't he say that? The answer is because Jericho was the first city. Because the principle of the first. Again, it's all through the Bible. God says, give me the first and the rest are redeemed. But you know the story. Some didn't return all to God, the silver and gold from Jericho. And you know what happened? They went into the smallest city called Ai, the second city, and had to run, pull up their skirts and run. Why is that? Because they stole what was God's, and God wasn't first. So when this took place, last time we talked about God saying that you are robbing me. In Joshua 7, he said to Joshua, Israel has stolen from me. Israel has taken what was consecrated or set apart for me. Remember last week, we understood, Israel has robbed me from blessing them when they went into Ai. Now, historians will show you that Ai had more silver and gold than Jericho did. I'm going to say this again. Historians will tell you that Ai, and the reason why there was such a great battle, because Ai was the most protected city of all the seven nations and cities that they went after. And it's because that's where they stole, they stored a lot of the gold and silver. And so what God was doing in his plans is, you give me the first, and then I'm going to really bless you in Ai, but they had to run. And Joshua had to take care of the situation. Israel has taken what was consecrated or set apart for God. Now, I studied the Word now for 46 years. And we only have two choices with the tithe, which is the first 10%, or the first. Bring it to the house of God, or we can steal it. Two choices. This is the principle of the firstborn. Whatever is brought into your economy, whatever is brought into your life, you're always giving to God, wrong word, returning to God, what's first. Here's the second, the principle of the first fruits. In Proverbs 3, 9, and 10, it says, honor the Lord with your possessions. So here's a question. How can you honor God with your car? That's simple. Here it is. Give him the first 10% of your income and then buy a car that you can afford. Live in your budget. How do you honor God with your home? Give him the first 10% of your income and watch what God does for tithers of taking care of that home and taking care of the mortgage. Verse 9, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. Of all your increase. See, how does this work with me as a doctor or a teacher or whatever? Everything that comes into your life, you are giving God first. And this is not an extreme. This is, in essence, everything. From your time to your efforts to your gifting that, you know, God's given you this great ability and you're out in a marketplace. Are you using your marketplace, your business, and giving to God first? Are you using your business to preach the gospel? Are you using your job to preach the gospel? See, it's got to go first. If you want in the blessings of the kingdom of God, prosperity of God, then you must understand it's all about the principle of the first and the first fruits. Not only the firstborn, but the first fruits. And everything that is there. Now, in this passage we just read, he's speaking to farmers here, but you could insert the word income. Verse 10, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Exodus 23:19 says, the first, watch this, of the first fruits of your land you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. Talking about the tithe. Do you know why he uses the word bring when he's talking about tithing? He never uses the word give in Scripture. He's speaking about tithing. Here's a reason. You can't give something that doesn't belong to you. You know, Pastor Ryan, I really like that computer of yours, but I want to give it to somebody. That's Pastor Ryan's. I don't have a right to give away his stuff. But see, God owns all things, and the first is always brought back to God. You're not giving it to him. You are bringing to him what he already owns. So let me answer a question all of you have thought about. You remember the story of Cain and Abel. Why did God bless and accept Abel's offering and not bless and accept Cain's offering? I have Googled for years, and not that I'm all smart, I'm not. There are a lot of people that know the word greater than me. But I laugh at some of the answers that they give, not in disrespect, but just, really, where'd you get that from? Let me just share with you. And we're going to read the story of Cain and Abel and what we know now regarding the principle of the first, how easy the answer is. The firstborn and the firstfruits belong to God. Genesis 4, 3, this is Cain's offering. And, remember, firstborn, firstfruits, and in the process of time, in other words, over time, it came to pass, just kind of happened, that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. People said, well, you know, God only accept sacrifice with blood. He doesn't, you know, accept. No, because the principle of the first is in everything. Notice it does not say first fruits. Just whenever Cain felt led. Have you ever heard anybody say, well, I don't tithe, I don't give first fruits because I'm just led of the Holy Spirit. That's what happened to Cain. Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. It wasn't first fruits. You know, you get people that love God. They're doing great things for the kingdom of God. But, you know, they're making $100,000 a year, but they're bringing $20 a week. And that is I'll just be honest with you, that's a Cain offering. So it doesn't say first fruits because it wasn't first fruits. Verse 4. Abel also brought of the, look at it, firstborn of his flock and of their fat, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering. Notice God didn't just respect Abel's offering, God respected Abel. I'm going to say that again. You got to get this. God respected Abel's offering because it was firstborn. Because that's the principle. But also, he respected Abel. And if you study that word respect or respected, it means that all of what God had promised was yea and amen for Abel. Everything that God said, everything that God has brought in Scripture, whether it's a principle, whether it's a law, whether it's New Testament, whatever it is, whether it's Revelation, the principle of the firstborn and first fruit is always there. And God respected Abel and said, because of that, the curse is removed from everything in your life. Now walk in this blessing. You say, yeah, but Abel was killed. That's where demonic things come in and want to steal, kill, and destroy. That's where we begin to move into a realm of understanding and coming against spiritual wickedness around our life. By the way, this story is 2,500 years before the law. 2,500 years before the law, the principles of the firstborn and the firstfruits was already enacted by God. Cain gave as he felt led. That is saying Cain felt it was his to give, but it is the Lord's to receive. And it is Cain's responsibility, my responsibility, to return what is God's. It is consecrated and set apart for God. You return or bring it to the house of God, you don't give it to the house of God. So last week when I returned my tithe, it wasn't mine, it was thank you God for the other 90%. Boom. And I returned it to him. And when you do that, you return it to him. And the scripture says that God respects that, and then he opens, like we taught last week, he removes. He's the one that will stand up and rebuke the curse. You don't have to yell at the enemy and be super Pentecostal. Amen? In Jesus' name, I've returned what is God's. I walk in God's kingdom's economy. Amen. Are you still with me? Because we're not done yet. So it's consecrated and set apart for God. So again, Cain gave what he wanted, when he wanted, or as he felt led. Have you ever heard anybody say, "Well, I'm not gonna do that because I don't agree with, you know, they painted the wall yellow instead of white." And the reality, they get mad, and so they pull their tithe. It's not mine. It's not Pastor Dan's. It's not Pastor Ryan's. It's not Pastor Angel's. It's God's. And he says, return it to the house of God. So here's a little theology. a little bit deeper here, but I'm making it simple. It's not that God would not accept Cain's offering. It's that God could not accept Cain's offering. I'll say that again. It's not that God would not accept Cain's offering. It's that God could not accept it. There are some things that God cannot do. God cannot act outside of his character. God cannot sin. God can't lie because he is the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father but through me. God can't change. It's the immutability of God. The reason he can't change is because if he could, again, you've heard this from me, if he could change, then he could get better, and he can't because he's perfect. Now, let me just go a little bit deeper doctrinally. It's going to shock you. Did you know that God can't think? Pause. The way we think? We think to figure things out. And God is not trying to figure anything out. This is called the omniscience of God, or all knowledge. Here is something also playing on words to think about. God knows everything at the same time. I want to tell you, you and me, if we did that, we'd trip a breaker. Amen? So nothing has ever occurred to God. Have you ever been in a discussion? You know, what I'm thinking about, something just occurred to me. Nothing has ever occurred to God. God has never said, you know what I just thought of? Or I've never thought of that before? So this is what relates to Cain. Why God could not accept his offering. God can never be second. It's the preeminence of God. He is preeminent. Study the attributes of God. He's first of all. He is higher than all. He is before all. He is above all. So when Abel brought a first offering, God said, I can accept that. And with Cain, he couldn't, because he can't. Here's the third one. We'll close with this. Here's the principle. We have touched on this. We're going to go deeper. Here's the principle of the first 10%. The reason it's first is it belongs to God and has to be first. The firstborn belong to God. The first fruit belong to God. Scripture is very clear. The tithe, 10%, first 10% belongs to God. Leviticus 27:30 says, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. So last time together, we said it's personal to Jesus. The tithe is personal. But it also is very personal to the Father, because the tithe, watch this, how important the tithe is, represents Jesus. In Colossians 1:15, this speaks of Jesus as the firstborn. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. 1 Corinthians 15:20 speaks of Jesus as the first fruits. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Who's fallen asleep? The believer. Jesus is God's tithe. God has tithed because you return the tithe first, the first fruits of all that have fallen asleep, what has taken place. Now we walk in all the blessings and been delivered from the curse, as when you tithe in the economic area, you've been delivered from the curse that God doesn't bring on you. The world does. Satan does. But God has set it apart in the principle of the tithe, the firstborn, the first fruits, that God is first. He set that apart as a principle throughout Scripture, Old Testament, the Gospels, all the New Testament, Revelation. And it's for you and me to be able to be delivered from the curse. And Jesus became the first. He is God's tithe and the returning of the tithe. Now, you don't wait to see that you have enough after paying bills. You don't wait to see that you have 10 sheep and then you give one. God gave Jesus before we straightened up, before we were changed. He gave us the Jesus, the firstborn, the first fruits. God gave us Jesus while we were spitting on him, mocking him, scourging him, and nailing him to the cross. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Romans also tells us God gave Jesus in hope or faith that we would accept him. Tithing is personal to God. So when you have increase, the first thing you set aside is God's portion. If it's second or third, it's nice to do and it's good, but it's not accepted. And Jesus is asking us to put him first. Let me read this to you. God has the power to bless you when he's first in all things. Exodus 13, verse 14 and 15. "So it shall be when your son asks you in time to come, saying, 'What is this?' that you shall say to him, 'By strength of hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage.' And it came to pass, when Pharaoh was stubborn about letting us go, that the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of the beast. Therefore, I sacrifice to the Lord all males that open the womb, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem." Church family, why do you tithe? You tell your sons and daughters, there was a time we were in slavery to sin, but God gave his son as the firstborn in the first fruits. And with his mighty hand, he saw his son become the lamb that was slain, and God redeemed us. The heart or the attitude of tithing, firstborn, first fruits, all the above, is because God gave his son so that we could live the life that we now live. Sons and daughters of the Most High, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, delivered from the curse and walking in the preeminence of who God is in our life. And it's an attitude of gratefulness. Remember the second day of this series? Second message? It's that we have become so grateful because of what God did for us. How could we not give him all of the first? Let's all stand. Amen. It's all about Jesus. It's all about the expectancy that you and I have to walk in kingdom realities. What we have, remember, again, I used it a couple weeks ago. Remember the woman, the two little, we'll say pennies, and all the Pharisees were giving all us thousands and all of them, look at us, look at us. Jesus looked at her, not because of the amount, not because it was, well, two pennies and 500, well, that person's better in tithe. No, he was looking at her heart. And because of her heart, this is what he said. And I want you to take this, and you've got to really, please, please, I know the roast is in the oven. And I'm not talking about babies either. But anyways, you have to understand is that God is saying, because of her attitude of returning to what was God's, her name will be exalted throughout eternity. God is not a respecter of persons. You're a consistent, faithful tither. Your name is proclaimed as blessed of God throughout eternity. You have to understand, because you've been delivered from the world's economic system and into God's economic system. Because why? The principle of the first. God is first with everything. Let's give the Lord an applause. Father, in Jesus' name, I proclaim an amazing transition in our lives. You had me teach this series, and we will continue. But you've had me teach this series in the midst of some of the greatest economic problems that we see. That 60% are living paycheck to paycheck. That the economy has jumped from food prices to housing to rent. Everything has just exploded in expense because the world's economy has failed us. But Father, I stand as a tither, and I stand and I say, in Jesus' name, that economic system will not hinder what you called me to walk in. It will not hinder anything. It will not hinder the church, because you are bringing people that are people of the principle of the first. Father, you know that we are a blessed church and that we are solid financially. We are solid in many different areas because of the faithfulness of your people. It's not about money to the church, but God, it's about the heart of people and the hundreds that are listening online and watching us. In Jesus' name, let God transform your home. Let God transform your jobs and your businesses and become a person that lives the principle of the first in everything. That you would be delivered from the clutches of the enemy, the clutches of poverty, the clutches of all these things of sickness and disease. In Jesus' name, we are whole because Jesus Christ was the tithe of God, was the firstborn, was the first fruits. And because of that, all things are set for us to live that life in your kingdom. Lord, I thank you for salvation. to be born again. You believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And the Bible says, you shall be saved. And if you would pray that prayer, let us know you did. We will rejoice with you. In Jesus' name, I proclaim over Valley Community Church the protection of the Lord, the manifestation of the miracle. This is a house of miracles. Change finances. Change poverty into prosperity. Change it because, God, you are first in everything. To Valley Community Church. And we pray this in the absolute fabulous name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Tonight at 6 o'clock, Daniel 70 weeks. It's going to be a fantastic time in the congregation. God bless you. Have an amazing afternoon.